present John le Carré's A Perfect Spy, adapted for radio in 8 parts by René Basilico. Starring James Fox as Magnus Pym, with James Grout as Jack Brotherhood, and Brenda Bruce as Miss Dubber. A Perfect Spy, Part 3.
And I don't suppose there's a chance that it's all just pure coincidence.
It seems unlikely, Ben.
But you've no real proof that it was Pym who took the station burn box. It wasn't signed out to him.
It wasn't signed out to anybody.
Exactly.
But the Chancery Guard said that Magnus called at the embassy on the way to the airport and left carrying a heavy black pouch.
And the guard never thought to question him.
No.
Why not?
He knew Pym Sr. had just died, and I suppose Magnus was in a hurry to catch the London flight. He can be very pushy.
No excuse, Nigel.
No.
Jack's here, Beau.
Oh, bring him in, Kate. Bring
Morning,
him in.
Morning, Beau.
Jack, welcome home. Good flight?
Well, it got here. What's the best that can be said for it?
Yes, well, sit you down, Jack.
Yeah, next to me.
And you here, Kate? Next to me.
Right.
Take notes.
Of course.
Well, Jack, I think I'm more or less up to date on Pym's disappearance.
You've heard the tapes?
I have indeed.
Good.
Not good, Jack. Not good at all.
Bear was asking what was in the burn box.
Well, what you'd expect. Everything we'd want to destroy in our age.
Which is what, exactly?
Not much. I mean, agents in place, all our checks, a few Hungarians. Just about everyone we ran from Vienna.
Yes.
So, when do we get them out?
We don't. Not yet.
What?
We're still evaluating, Jack.
It's Bear's judgment that things should go on as normal. Everyone looks busy and acts natural.
Absolute normality in all areas, Jack. One premature step could be fatal.
For the Joes, or for our special relationship with the Americans?
We do share your concern, Jack. And if it comes to it, I stress, if it comes to it, we will evacuate the agents.
I should bloody well hope so.
But softly, softly, in echelons.
We'll call on you if we get that far.
At this moment, we want you to concentrate on finding Magnus. That's your first priority.
I see.
Who better? He was your man, like a son to you, wasn't he? We all felt that.
Yes, we did, didn't we? Well, if that's all.
I think so. Nigel?
No.
I'd better get on with it, then.
Well, where will you start, Jack?
Oh, God knows. I might just drive down to the school and see his son, Tom. He seems to have been the last person Magnus saw before he... Well, whatever. Work's still a problem, Tom.
A bit, sir.
You've still got your eye on Sandhurst.
Yes, sir.
Well, you'll have to swap then, won't you?
I am trying. Really?
You want your father to be proud of you?
Yes. Uncle Jack?
Hmm?
Is Dad all right?
Well, why shouldn't he be?
He seemed a bit down when he came to see me after my grandfather's funeral.
Well, you'd be down if you just buried your old man, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Well, what made you say he was down then? Something he said?
It was weird.
What was?
Well, he talked about freedom all the time. How nobody could give it to us. We had to grab it for ourselves.
Damn right.
Well, he was saying if I was unhappy, I ought to, like, run away.
From school?
I think so. It was as if he wanted me to do something he'd always wanted to do himself.
What, run away from school?
It's really weird.
No. It's just another way of saying he wants you to be happy. Come on.
Where are we going?
I thought we might shoot a few clay pigeons.
You brought the guns?
And all the rest of the gear. It's in the back of the car.
Smashing.
In you get. The other side.
Right.
We'll get a shift on, or it'll be tea time before we've started.
Pull!
Shot!
Pull!
Oh, well done! A 7 out of 10 I made that.
Don't you do 9?
Oh, we'll see.
You always do 9 or 10.
Well, I'm bigger than you. Mm. Here, hand me some shells.
Oh, right. Uncle Jack?
Hmm?
If Jack's all right, why are the police looking for him?
Who told you that?
Well, I had to see Dad Marshall on Friday. And there was this man with him who'd come to ask me about Dad.
Friday, you say?
Right after gym.
What did he want to know about your father?
His leave address. He said that after the funeral, Dad had taken leave and forgotten to tell anyone where he was going.
What'd you tell him?
That I didn't know.
Do you?
Not really. Dad said something about going to Scotland.
Scotland? Who said this chap was a policeman?
The head, Mr. Caird, when he introduced me.
What was his rank? Did he tell you?
Inspector. Inspector Baring.
Oh, Baring. He's not a policeman, you chump. He's a Foreign Office inspector.
Oh.
From personnel department, probably trying to keep his record straight.
You mean, okay, got it wrong?
Well, doesn't he always? You ready?
Ready.
Pull. Pull.
2 out of 2.
Hang on a minute.
What's the matter, Uncle Jack?
I think it's time we let you into a little secret. Keep a secret, can you?
Oh, yes, sir.
Good man. Actually, your father's got a lot of secrets, too. That's his work. You knew that, didn't you?
Well, sort of. It's your work, too, isn't it?
Yes. And that's why we sometimes give your father bodyguards. You know, boys on motorbikes or in cars, you know, to follow him around, hang about outside his house, that sort of thing.
I've seen them, Uncle Jack.
Have you?
Yes, on holiday in Greece.
Like tall, thin men with moustaches?
I saw one of them, too. He came up and talked to Dad when we were watching a cricket match. He was all hobbly.
What the hell's hobbly?
Well, he sort of hobbles when he tries to walk fast.
You mean he limps?
Yes.
Well, then say so. Which leg?
Left.
Try again.
Left.
You sure?
Left, definitely left.
10 out of 10.
And he wore a straw hat.
Top of the class. You see how important your father is, Tom. We have to guard him very carefully.
Yeah.
But sometimes, what he does is so secret that he has to disappear completely. Even the bodyguards don't know where he is.
Don't they?
No. No one in the world knows. Except you and me. Not even your mother. We're the only two.
I don't know, Uncle Jack. Honest.
You sure he didn't tell you where? In Scotland?
No.
Oh, well, he probably forgot about it. Are you ready?
Ready.
Pull. Pull.
Dad did say something about a place where he could do some writing.
Where was that?
By the sea. Well, that's what he said.
That all?
Yes. Oh, except he's got a super landlady.
Oh? What's her name?
I don't know, but she's very kind to him. Ready?
Oh, damn. Hang on, I forgot to load.
Life in Switzerland was suspended in limbo for months after Axel's sudden expulsion.
Mr. Canterbury?
Yes?
I've got some vitamin C for you.
Come in, Miss Dubber. Come in.
I knew I had some somewhere.
You shouldn't have bothered, really.
And I've made you a hot honey and lemon drink.
I haven't got a cold yet, Miss D. It's only a sniffle.
Oh, stop it before it starts. That's what my poor mother used to say.
Thank you. You're very kind.
You must drink it while it's hot, mind. We can't have you incapacitated. Not before you've finished whatever it is you're writing.
It's only my life story, Miss D. My double life story. Now, where was I? Suspended in limbo for months after Axel's sudden expulsion. But the absence of news from Axel was more than made up for by a stream of letters from my father.
My dear son, the clouds of misfortune have been swept away by a providence I can only regard as crackerjack, and certain steps are in hand with a view to ensuring that you will never want for anything ever again.
I was soon to learn of those certain steps. when I was summoned home to a welcoming reception at the Park Lane offices of the latest grand enterprise.
I told your father time and time again, Ricky, I said, you've got to get that boy back home or those foreigners will make a whore of him.
It wasn't that bad.
And you know what Ricky said?
No, what?
I said I had faith in you, son.
That's right. That's exactly what you said.
Do you have faith in me, son?
Of course he has.
Masses.
See?
Why don't you get a drop more bubbly, Sylvia?
Hmm? Oh, yes. Yes, I'll just see if I can find another bottle, shall I?
What do you think of her, son?
Sylvia? She's, nice.
Nice. That's exactly what she is. She's a damn nice woman. Mm. With two first-class husbands to her credit.
She's very attractive.
Did you get yourself involved out there in Switzerland?
Well, nothing serious.
Good. No woman's ever going to come between us, son. Not between good pals like us, eh?
No, never.
Yes, son. You did a fine job out there in Switzerland. It didn't go unnoticed. Or unappreciated.
What's this?
Go on, read it.
The Pym and Permanent Mutual Property Trust.
Registered in Nassau. And you've been appointed its international legal advisor.
Legal advisor?
For life. Seen the salary? There.
It's £500 a year.
I should see you through Oxford, eh?
Oxford?
That's what I said, son.
You mean in the university?
Where else would a son of mine be going?
Dad, I don't know what to say.
Learn the law as if your life depended on it. That's what you're being paid for, son, to learn the law.
In Rick's eyes, university was a necessary prelude to having me appointed Lord Chief Justice, and thus securing for me a place among what he was pleased to call the highest in the land. But I hadn't been up at Oxford more than a week when I received a handwritten communication from the Regius Professor of Law.
Dear Mr. Pym, yesterday, Messrs. Harrods delivered to me a case of the most excellent port, together with a charming letter from your father, which would appear to commend you to me as my pupil. While it is not in my habit to turn away such generosity, I fear that the gesture would be better directed to my colleague in the Modern Languages School, since I understand from your senior tutor that you are reading German. I would be grateful if you could therefore arrange for this thoughtful gift to be redirected to him.
I was carting the case back to my rooms when I ran into Kenny Sefton Boyd. We'd been at school, prep school, and God knows where else together, but Seth had come up a year ahead of me and now ran with a rich crowd at Balliol.
What the hell you got there, Pim?
Port.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yep, good stuff, too.
Oh, let's have a look. Oh, where'd you get it?
Oh, some rich queen in Merton's trying to get me into bed with him.
Well, he may not know his Pim, but he certainly knows his port. Let's cut it down to the grid. If this doesn't get you elected, nothing will. Come on.
If there ever was such a thing as a perfect time in my life, it was surely those first few terms at Oxford. There seemed to be a sort of safety among those dreaming spires. I was free of the past. And that first glorious summer, devoted almost entirely to girls, holding hands, gazing into eyes, and desperately trying to impress them with tales of my suffering at the hands of the murderous Swiss police.
But I thought the Swiss were so terrifically neutral and humane.
Not if you're different, Sarah.
Oh.
Swiss have two laws that really matter. Thou shalt not be poor, and thou shalt not be foreign. I was both.
Poor you. You've really been through it.
It was for England, Sarah. I had these awful things to people.
What sort of things?
I can't tell you. I can't tell anybody. They kill me.
Oh, no.
I love you, Sarah.
You can put your hand up my skirt if you like.
And so it went on. A different story for every girl. Little did I realize then how I was tempting Providence, calling down a fate on myself as surely as if I had begged for it by name. And sure enough, the divine response was waiting one Saturday morning in my cubbyhole at the porter's lodge.
Ah, Mr. Pym, sir. A letter for you.
Oh, thank you.
And a word in your ear, sir.
Yes, Bockins. What is it?
If your young ladies could content themselves with merely spraying perfume on their mischief, sir, rather than pouring it on, I think we'd all be grateful.
Sorry.
Face is beginning to stink like a French brothel.
The perfumed missive came not from a female admirer, but from Captain Jack Brotherhood, en route from Bairns, who are posting with a military mission in the Trucial Oman Emirates.
My dear Magnus, just a line to wish you well with your studies and to repeat my interest in your progress. I have taken the liberty of passing your name to a colleague of mine, as there are important matters of mutual interest that you might be able to help us out with. His name is Michael, and he will be in the saloon bar of the Monmouth Arms at Burford at around midday on each of the next 3 Mondays. Should you care to meet him?
Fate had caught up with me. That letter was to destroy the very safety I thought I'd found at Oxford. The following Monday, I went to Burford, armed with a copy of the Financial Times, for ease of recognition, as Jack put it.
Would yours, sir?
Just a half a bitter, please.
Make that 2, Squire.
2 halves a bitter?
No, no. Uncle's in the chair today. Why don't you park yourself in the corner there? Right. Don't forget your paper.
I no longer recall the exact words that passed between us that day. It was anyway a matter of form rather than content. Behind the veiled words and the oblique approaches, we both understood the real substance of that conversation.
Somebody's got to dredge the drains, old boy. Unless we want them to steal the ship from under us, which I don't, thank you very much. Fancy another?
The particular drains that I was being asked to dredge were mostly of a pinkish hue. The Hegelian Society, the Cole Group, the Society for Cultural Relations with the USSR, Uncle Tom Cobley and all.
What the hell are you running with all those reds for?
What do you mean?
Well, someone told me you made some piss-awful speech with Cole Group about the madness of war or something equally idiotic.
Oh, that.
Well, what the hell is the Cole Group, anyway?
It's a discussion room run by G.D.H. Cole.
Never heard of him. Don't want to.
It explores avenues of socialism.
Are they queer?
Not that I know of.
Well, explore someone else's avenues. Damn it, Tim, you're supposed to be a member of the grid. Now behave like one.
I'd like to see all sides.
They're not all sides. We are. They've finished half Europe already.
Exactly, sir. I'm doing it for my country.
Bollocks. You're faffing around in fantasy land again.
But this time I was telling the truth. Perfumed envelopes were arriving from Michael every week now, suggesting areas of interest, ranging from the composition of a delegation to the Sarajevo Youth Festival, to the antics of the Hungarian wife of a visiting lecturer from Leeds. It was all the same to me. It had become a way of life.
I've just seen your nasty name on a poster of him. College secretary of the Socialist Club. I mean, damn it, what's your father going to say to that?
What do you mean?
But it's a betrayal, an absolute bloody betrayal.
What is?
You! Parading around as a red when your old man's standing as a liberal.
Standing for what?
Parliament, you asked. Haven't you read the paper?
No, not yet.
Well, here it is. Gulworth North, R.T. Pym, philanthropist and property broker.
Yeah, let's see that.
There couldn't possibly be 2 R.T. Pyms, could there?
And there, staring out at me from the newspaper, was Rick's portrait of self with red setter. The absolute epitome of sturdy yeoman respectability.
Mr. Canterbury? Mr. Canterbury?
Coming!
Yes, Miss Dubber, what is it?
Dinner will be ready in about 10 minutes.
Righto.
Would you like it in your room?
No, no. I'll be right down. Pour your sherry, Miss D.
Thank you.
Move the poached egg on toast.
Me, please.
There you are, my dear. And a pot of tea and toast for you, sir.
Thank you.
I'll bring some cakes as soon as you're through that lot.
Right. Well, all right, Tom.
Fine, thank you.
I don't suppose your father's been in touch since he came down to see you. On the phone or anything.
Oh, he wrote me a letter.
quite long thing.
Yeah. Must have had something really important to say to you.
Well, I thought it was a bit weird, actually.
Well, he was cut up. His old man dies, so he writes to his son. What's wrong with that?
That's what's so weird.
Well, I'm not with you.
Well, he wasn't cut up. He was, well, sort of pleased.
He actually wrote that, did he?
Well, he said Grandad had gobbled up all the natural humanity in him. And he didn't want to do the same to me.
Well, that's just another way of being cut up, isn't it?
I suppose so.
What else did he write?
There's a whole lot of other stuff about Sefton Boyd's penknife and some writing in the staff loo.
Who's Sefton Boyd?
Boy at school. His father was at the school too, same time as Dad. He's a member of Parliament.
And a friend of your father?
I think so.
It's quite a coincidence.
Weird.
You've got the letter with you?
Mm-hmm.
Can I see? He may have said things he didn't mean to, you know, the way it is when you're very upset.
Oh.
Thanks. Reading, is that, the postal?
I think so.
First post Tuesday.
Probably missed the last post on Monday.
Yes. Yes, I hadn't thought of that. Do you mind if I hang on to the letter for a bit, Tom? So that we can talk about it next time I come down.
Okay. Poached eggs, super Uncle Jack. Absolutely perfect.
Good.
Liaison?
Inspector Bellows.
Speaking.
Ah, Jack Brotherhood.
Ah, greetings. What can we do you for?
Interested in one Sefton Boyd, MP.
Right, one. Just feed it in. Right. Sir Kenneth Murray Sefton Boyd, no hyphen. Member for... Oh, God knows how you pronounce this.
No matter. Married, is he?
Separated stroke divorced. One son, aged 12, lives with a mother, currently at prep school...
Yes, I know. Where can I contact Sir Kenneth?
Got a house in Chelsea. Oh, hang on. There's some more gent coming up. Oh, yes. Now, Sir Kenneth's got a lad called Stegwold living with him. If you were old enough, I'd leave you his record.
For what?
What do you think?
Okay, give me the address, will you?
You got a pencil?
Shoot.
Right. It's a square just off the Brompton Road. Number 18.
Is Sir Kenneth in, son?
I don't know, do I? Hey, you just can't come in here.
It's all right, he knows me.
But...
Name's Marlowe, son, Jack Marlowe.
Who is this, Stegie?
Vocal Marlowe. Says he knows you.
Where from?
His constituency.
Your constituency.
Hmm. Better show him in, then.
You can hang your coat there.
Thank you.
It's in here.
Marlowe, was it?
Yes, Jack Marlowe. How do you do, sir?
What's this about, then?
I'd like to speak to you alone, if I may, sir, on a private matter.
You're not one of my constituents.
No, Sir Kenneth.
What then? Copper?
Of sorts. I can't.
Inquiries affecting national security, eh?
You can ring Scotland Yard if you wish to confirm it. The number's there.
I thought we were going to the Albion.
I can't, not yet.
You promised.
You go on ahead, Peggy. I'll follow on later. And close the door after you. Don't want him hearing any of this.
With his record, I don't blame you.
So you're a spy, are you?
Of sorts.
Ah.
You're not surprised to see me, sir.
Take a bit more than that to surprise me, madame.
Anyone else been here to see you? Foreign gentlemen, Americans?
Why should they?
Well, it seems that your old school pal, Mr. Magnus Pym, has disappeared. They're looking into everyone who might have knowledge of his whereabouts, sir, and that would naturally include you.
Hmm.
Is he here?
Who?
Pym.
Don't know. Who's Pym?
You mind if I look around?
Got a warrant?
No.
Get a warrant and I might let you look.
How old is Sticky, Sir Kenneth?
Old enough.
How old was he when he started here?
Don't know. Look it up.
I'm Pym's friend too, you know.
Doubt it. What's he been up to?
Selling national secrets, for the look of it.
For money?
Probably.
Want a drink? Scotch? Beer?
Well, I wouldn't say no to a whiskey, sir.
Should think not. Damn decent malt.
No, Magnus never cared about money. Love was all he cared about. Didn't know where to find it. Well, sit down, then.
Thanks.
Help yourself to water.
Thank you. Who's Poppy?
Never heard of her.
Or him.
Nice thought, but no.
Wentworth?
Hate the place.
He has been in touch with you, hasn't he, Sir Kenneth? Recently?
Maybe.
When was it?
Monday night. Pissed out of his skull. Didn't recognize him at first. Hadn't heard from him for years. And suddenly he phones me.
Where from? Any idea?
Don't know. Call box somewhere.
But how did he sound? Tense? Nervous?
Pissed, I told you. Couldn't tell whether he was laughing or crying. Said his father just died. He was over here to bury him. Drowning his sorrows, I should think.
Hmm.
Next thing I knew, he was babbling on about carving my initials in the staff loo at our prep school and getting me flogged for it.
Ah, yes.
Suppose I deserved it, really. I gave him a hard time at school, always ragging him about his family.
Did you ever meet them?
Met his father once. Real con man, you know. Damn near ruined my arm with some hokum about building a new airport in Scotland. He even tried to get into Parliament.
Really?
Pity he didn't. He'd have been in good company. Yes. Wasn't very nice to Magnus in those days.
But you wouldn't let an old chum down,
He's not here, I promise you.
And you've no idea where?
Not really. Witted on a bit about taking himself off to some sort of secret place, write a book, set the record straight.
What record?
God knows. Some nonsense about this brotherhood he worked for. Couldn't tell whether he was gibbering about the Masons or the Mafia. Then there was this other chap, you see.
What other chap?
Don't know, didn't get that bit. Drunk's barman. I'm one myself, you know.
Did he, have a name, this other chap?
Don't think so. Didn't stick if he did, sorry.
And this secret place of his, where was that?
Didn't say. His business.
Oh, of course, yes. And Pym told you he worked for this other chap.
Said he worked for both of them, actually. The Brotherhood and the other chap.
Oh, God.